Father, I thank you so much that we are your children and for all you've done to make that the case. Show us, Lord, how to understand that, how to appreciate it, and how to live in that this morning, we pray, as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jay Spates grew up in New Jersey. He was a Jersey boy, an average guy. Didn't own a home, just rented an apartment, didn't own a car, took the bus. Your normal average guy. All his life, he didn't know who he was. Until one day he got an envelope, and then everything changed, because inside that envelope was a letter. And that letter told him that he was a prince from a country called Benin in West Africa. Now, you might be thinking, oh, I've seen those letters, those scams. But no, this isn't a prince asking for money. This was a letter letting him know that they had traced his DNA and discovered he was part of the royal family from Benin. And so he got on a plane and he traveled there. And when he got off the plane, because in his mind, he's Jersey Jay. He gets off the plane and he sees hundreds of people there singing and dancing and playing instruments with banners. And he thinks, oh, it must be some kind of festival day. Thought didn't even cross his mind that they were all there for him because he was a prince, part of the royal family. So they welcomed him home with this giant parade and this coronation. They even sent him to classes on how to be a prince since he'd never learned how. And he was inherited into the royal family, a family he never knew he was part of, an inheritance he never knew he had. His entire life changed. And to make things even more interesting, let me read you what he wrote about it. He said, "What added to the intensity of emotion was that it was my father's birthday. And to land there on my father's birthday was just unbelievable. And I tell you, my father's presence was with me. I could see him and feel him." Man, wouldn't that be nice? On the one hand, to wake up and find out you're a prince, part of a royal family, and you have an inheritance coming your way, that would be pretty nice right about now. But also, to have a relationship with your father where you could sense and feel his presence, even though he wasn't with you. You know, since Easter, we've been talking about what it means to be redeemed. And that word, redeemed, is a thick word. It's a rich word. And so we've been talking about the different aspects of it. We talked about how it means being rescued, how it means being ransomed. And today I want to talk about a third aspect of that. Redemption is restoration to a relationship with God. Easter marks the day we found out that we can be restored to our place as sons of God. That relationship can be restored. And it needs to be restored because we've blown it. There are a couple ways in particular that we ruin and break or flat out just miss out on our relationship with God. And they both show up in one of Jesus' most famous parables. You know it as the parable of the prodigal son. But this story tells us about redemption as restoration. And so I want to share it with you this morning. I know some of you know it really well. Others of you don't. But I want to tell it to you again, and I want you to listen to it, even if you've heard it 1,000 times, and let it speak to you afresh. Because we often think about this story as the story of a prodigal son who ruined his relationship with his father. But the truth is, this story is about two sons who both missed out on a relationship with their father in two very different ways. But they're the two ways that we struggle with as well. So listen with fresh ears if you've heard it before. But there was a father who had two sons. And one day the younger son decided he'd rather just be on his own. And so he went to his father and said, "You know what? Essentially, let's end our relationship. Let's act as if you're gone and just give me the inheritance that you'd give me when that day comes, when it's time for me to get my inheritance, and I'll be out of here, out of your hair, we're through." And the father, brokenhearted, gives him his inheritance and lets him go on his way. And he runs off and creates a great lifestyle for himself and has a blast. The older son, meanwhile, stays home and works hard on the family farm and the family business there. Well, eventually, the economy takes a downturn, and the younger son burns through all of his money, and he starts taking jobs wherever he can find them. So he takes a job on a farm feeding pigs, and he's so hungry that the food he's feeding the pigs looks good to him. And he says to himself, you know what? I know I can't go back and be a son. There's no way my father would accept me again as a son, but maybe he'd let me just work as a slave in the house because that life would be better than this. And so he tucks his tail between his legs and he starts to go home. And as he gets close, it says, Jesus said, the father is watching for him. You imagine he's probably been watching for him every day. And when he sees him a long way off, he doesn't sit there and wait for his son to come groveling. Instead, that father gets up and runs out to his son like a kid running when he finds out his parents are taking him to Disneyland. I mean, he just forgets all decorum and runs out to see his son, throws his arms around his son's neck, and his son wants to get out his whole speech about, I'm sorry, I know I can't be a son, but he can't even really get it out because the father is yelling at everybody, bring a robe for my son, bring a ring for his finger, let's have a feast. And in doing that, what he's saying is that this is my son, and I am re-inheriting him. That's what the robe means and the ring means. I am re-inheriting him back into his place and his rights as my son. So they bring him back to the house, and they have this giant feast. But the older brother doesn't go in. He stays outside, sulking, because he's ticked off, because he's been working hard, doing what's right. And so the father goes out to him and says, what's the matter? Why are you out here? We should be inside celebrating. And the older son just unloads and says, you know, all these years I have worked and worked and worked for you. I have worked so hard, worked my skin to the bone, and I've never gotten a calf to have with my friends. And the father's taken aback and shocked. And he says, everything I have is yours. It's always been yours. Anytime you could have had any of these blessings from me. But don't let that keep you from a relationship with your brother and me. Let's celebrate together. But he doesn't. He doesn't go back inside. And it's a tragic story for both of them, really. Both sons, really. The first son, he lives as though he doesn't have a father. That's what he's doing. He's saying, I'm going to live as though I don't have a father, because in his mind, he sees his father as some slave master he needs to escape from. And so he does. He runs away. But the surprise in the story is that the older son also lives as though he doesn't have a father, but a slave master he has to fear and work for and please. He never experienced a relationship with his father where he was receiving the blessings of being a son. He lived like a slave when he was actually a son. So they both need something here. They both have broken relationships with God, the younger son or with their father. The younger son needs something to restore him to his standing as a son, to change his position, right? Because his status is not son anymore. It's something else. He's hoping he can get the status of slave at best. So something has to change his status. But the older son, he needs something to change his experience because he's not experiencing the blessings of being a son. And both of those are our problems too. And this is how God solved those two problems for us. This is what it says in the Bible. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Did you see the two parts to what God has done? God sent Jesus to redeem us, to restore our relationship with him. And God also sent the Spirit to make it possible for you and I to experience the reality of that relationship every day. Jesus' work solves our status problem. That's what Jesus' work does. We've lost our status as sons of God. Jesus makes it possible for that status to be renewed. The Holy Spirit's work makes it possible for us to experience it. He solves our experiential problem. He enables us to experience an ongoing, thriving relationship with God as our Father. So let's talk about those two. First, the work of the Son. Right? Like the younger son, a lot of us come from places where we have completely ignored God in the past, or maybe even right now. There are times we've completely forgotten about him. We've just gone off spending the life he gave us, however we saw fit, and doing whatever we wanted to do. We had no relationship with God, and we didn't even want one. A lot of us come from that place. Maybe something has happened recently. Maybe something's happening right now that's making you think, I wonder if God cares about me. Or maybe something's making you think, I wonder if there's any way God would take me back. What Jesus did for you and I is he made a way back to being restored to sonship with God, being restored to be God's sons, adopted as his sons. Now, I know at least half of you are thinking right now, I think you mean sons and daughters. Let's not leave out the daughters part. But Paul wrote very specifically that God sent Jesus to restore us to adoption to sonship. Why did Paul write adoption to sonship? Is this just, you know, a case of old world sexism? What's going on? It's not. It's actually, there could be nothing further from the truth here. And here's why. And this will help us understand what Paul's actually saying here. Paul is writing to men and women in a culture where only sons inherit. When you are adopted as a son, you're being given an inheritance. And this would happen from time to time. A male household servant who is beloved by the family could be adopted as a son. And what that would mean is that the father is saying, you are now one of my sons and you're going to inherit some of my possessions just as though you were one of my natural born sons. But that was only available to men, not women. Women couldn't inherit. Daughters got no inheritances. So when Paul says that Jesus makes a way for all of us to be adopted as sons, what he's saying is that every one of us, both men and women, are adopted by God into a full inheritance. That's what adopted to sonship means. Adopted to full inheritance. Every one of us, regardless. Can you imagine what a revolutionary idea that would be? If you were living and growing up in that Roman culture where women received no inheritance, and then you're sitting in your house church one day and you read this letter that Paul wrote, and he says this, that everyone, men and women, are adopted to sonship, to inheritance by God on the same level, it would be revolutionary to you. It would be transformational to you. It would rock your world. But what it does is it shows us what God's kingdom is like. It's not like our world. In God's kingdom, this is what the Bible says, God does not show favoritism. Listen, if you've blown this relationship with God by enslaving yourself to something else, right? Maybe it's your ambition or your pleasure or whatever else. If you've outright rejected God and you're wondering if there's any way back to a relationship with him, to be adopted as his child, then look at what Jesus did. Jesus' work on the cross, Jesus' work rising from the dead, makes that all possible. Jesus took the curse that we deserved and gave us the blessing that he deserved. That's the work of Jesus. That's what he's done. But that's just part one, right? That solves one part of our problem, one way that we ruin our relationship with God, the one where we push him away and reject him and use this life for ourselves. So we're only solved part one. There's got to be a problem, a solution for the second problem too. So do you remember what the second problem was? It's that even though you have this relationship with God as his son or daughter, you're not living in the experience of it. We can know that we're God's child and still live like a servant, still live like a slave, not experiencing the blessings of a relationship with God as our Father. So now listen to what God did to change our experience. This is what he said in verse 6 and 7 again. He said, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. God sent Jesus to solve our status problem. God sent the Holy Spirit to solve our experiential problem. Look, if you're a child of God, but you're not experiencing God's presence and blessings and joy and strength in your life every day, then your relationship with God is broken, and God sent the Holy Spirit to fix that in us. And there are four things here that I want to focus on, but next week we're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit and how he restores all of creation. But here I want to focus in, because of what Jesus did, it's now possible for the Spirit to dwell in us, and from within us, the Holy Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. Let's look at that, those four words. Calls out, Abba, Father. First of all, calls out is a deep, visceral cry. In the Psalms, David talks about this as deep calling to deep. The depth of your being calling out to the depth of who God is. This is not shallow surface stuff. This is, you're able to, from deep within you, even parts maybe you're not in touch with, call out and cry out to God in a communication that's deeper than your communication with anyone else on the face of this earth, right? And that kind of goes to the second thing. This calling out is prayer. It's not prepared speech prayer, and that's fine. It's fine to have prayers you can read that are prepared. This, though, this is just your heart crying out the way a child would cry out to their father spontaneously for help or I need this. It's just the spontaneous, authentic, visceral crying out to God. This is what the Holy Spirit does in us, enables us to go through life crying out to God at any time, a moment's notice, just crying out to him. Three, calling out also demonstrates how close and how present God is. God, our Father, is near. He is there to hear us. He is there to listen to us. And the fact that we're crying out demonstrates that we expect his presence there, listening to us. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. And then fourth, what we're crying out, Abba, Father. That word Abba, a lot of you know this, it's a child's word for father. It's like saying daddy, right? Or papa, right? And it shows this complete trust, the way a child assumes his father loves him or assumes her father loves her. And when her father comes home, daddy, right? Or when they're excited about something, daddy, or when they're having fun, right? It's that crying out, that intimate, deep, relational ability to talk to God as daddy. That should revolutionize our lives. God is not some cosmic force separate and distant from us. He is daddy. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And that's what the older son was missing. He missed the joy and the pleasure of being a son because he was too busy trying to earn the position he already had. He was working for the place he'd already been given. And so he missed the entire point of being a son, which is to enjoy your relationship with the Father. Work alongside of him, but enjoy the relationship with him. Jesus works on us. The Holy Spirit works in us. Jesus makes relationship possible. The Holy Spirit makes relationship with God our Father palpable. But listen, you can't live in the experience of that relationship with God if you haven't embraced, first of all, what Jesus did for you. It has to start there, confessing your sin, asking him to forgive you. And you haven't, on the other hand, fully embraced Jesus' redemption of you if you're not experiencing being a child of God. by the Holy Spirit inside of you. God sent Jesus, and God sent the Holy Spirit to restore us to a vibrant and joyful relationship with Him. This morning, I just want to ask you, are you like the younger brother? Have you rejected God? Are you sitting there thinking nothing could restore you to sonship, thinking the best you could hope for would be some second-class status with God? Jesus came to change that status. And look, if you want Him to do that, then would you do me a favor? And right now, there's a link that's going to pop up in the chat area. And just say, yeah, I raised my hand for that. I want to change my status. I want Jesus to change my status. I want a relationship with God, my Father. I believe that what Jesus did makes that possible. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead to make that possible, and I want that right now. And if you're on Facebook or watching in another place, just click that connect link and send us a message and let us know, because I want to follow up with you and help you take some next steps to grow into that relationship. But then I have a feeling a lot of you are maybe more in the camp of the older brother, maybe lacking the experience of this relationship with God. You know you're a child of God. You know what Jesus has done for you, but maybe that's where it ended for you. And you're not realizing and not living in the experience of God as your Father through the Holy Spirit in your life. Especially now, in these days that have been very stressful, and a lot of us are cooped up at home, and maybe you're cooped up at home with your family and you're frazzled. You know, you didn't go to school to be a teacher, and now all of a sudden you're the teacher for your kids, right? You have to wash your food when you bring it home from the store. Like, everything's just more difficult. You're spending way more time on top of each other, fighting for internet, fighting for TV space, fighting for computers, right? Everything is just so much more difficult. And maybe you've lost all the joy of knowing that you have a relationship with God, your Father, and you can cry out to Him, Daddy, in the midst of anything. Maybe you're worrying about being sick or getting sick or someone you know and love who's sick. Maybe you're hurting because you've lost someone you love. Maybe you're worried about finances or about job situations and all those things, and you're taking it all on your shoulder, and you've forgotten the experience of God as your Father available to you by the Holy Spirit that He sent into us. And all you got to do is cry out, lean on the Holy Spirit to cry out, Daddy, Father, God, and experience His presence and His power and His peace in your life. This morning, I want to challenge you and encourage you. Grab hold of that experience. It's part of what God wants to do. And if you're not grabbing hold of that, you're missing out on the whole reason Jesus came, to make it possible for us to be children of God, so that we could walk with God and experience His presence. We are no longer slaves. We are children of God. Jesus changed your status. The Holy Spirit wants to change your experience. This morning, we're going to sing a song that you may not know. I want to close with this song. It's called No Longer Slaves. And I'm hoping this song will become an anthem for us this week. I hope you'll listen to it, sing along, learn it, go find it on your computer afterwards or your phone and listen to it again and again and again. And let it be your anthem this week, because we are no longer slaves. We are sons inherited by God.